Jericho was the first town they took over. The spoils of war to Jericho were to be devoted or dedicated to the treasury of the Lord's stuff. The people were not to touch it. The soldiers were to leave it alone. The commanding officer, Joshua, gave that order in chapter 6. Don't touch it. Don't keep it. Leave it alone. Doesn't belong to you. Belongs to God. If you touch it, you'll be cursed. Well, Achan didn't seem to care. He saw something that caught his eye, and he thought, why let it go to waste? It won't be missed. And he took it for himself.
You may have heard someone say, I don't go looking for trouble. Trouble usually finds me. Today on Connect with Skip Hyten, Skip explains that wasn't the case for a man named Achan. You'll discover how important godly community is for you when life gets tough. But first, Skip wants to share about another way you can hear these encouraging Bible messages.
I want to invite you to follow my podcast so you can get even more inspiring teachings. Just search Skip Heitzig. That's Skip, H-E-I-T-Z-I-G, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the podcast so you know when a new teaching is available.
Thank you, Skip. Now, we're in Joshua chapter 7 as we dive into our study with Skip Heitzig.
The Heitzig boys were trouble, especially the third one. That's my brother, Bob. Bob was 6'8", and he liked it. And he wanted others to appreciate it. He could walk into a room and be very intimidating. So though all of us could bring a little bit of craziness to a situation, when Bob was coming, it's like, here comes trouble. And he sort of liked that mystique. There was a new bartender that moved into an old frontier town, western town. And his predecessor said, I've got one piece of advice for you. If Big John ever comes to town, get out quick. Well, years went by, and one day a cowpoke put his head in the saloon and said, Big John's a-coming. Everybody ran far and fast except the bartender. He couldn't get out in time. And just then, through the saloon doors, in walked this huge, biggest, ugliest, meanest looking guy, black hat, snarl, riding a buffalo. One hand was a rattlesnake, other hand was a bullwhip. With one fist, he could break a table, broke it in half, ordered up a root beer. I alter the story depending on the audience, you know. And he took the root beer, bit off the cap with his teeth, drank it. Bartender said, can I get you another one, sir? And the big old dude said, there's no time. Big John's coming. So it's one thing to be big and mean and ugly like that guy, but there's somebody worse than him. My brother Bob was Big John, or he wanted to be seen that way. 6'8" on a Harley with a gang. Just loved that mystique. Now, I knew him. And I knew that deep inside, that wasn't really him. He was really tender-hearted, but he liked to give off the rough, tough exterior. The person in our story is exactly the opposite. His name is Achan. Achan wants to appear like he's no trouble at all, but he is. In fact, his name means trouble. That's what Achan means, trouble or troubler. And he comes in like he's a soldier, he's yes sir, he's mild-mannered, he marches with the rest, but he's trouble. Here comes trouble. And he brings trouble to the entire nation. We're in Joshua chapter 7, that's where his story is, but I just want to give you a little bit of catch-up before we get into it. In chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, there's a change from the first six chapters. If you were to read the first six chapters and then begin the seventh, it's like you're reading two different books. The first six chapters, everything is great. God gives promises to Joshua, the new commanding officer, the new general of Israel. They cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. There is a miraculous takeover of the first city, Jericho. All of that's good. until you get to chapter 7. And you can see it for yourself. Look at the very last verse of chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. First word of the next chapter, but. That's not a good change. That signals that things are going to be different from here on out. And they will be. This is the first defeat that they will experience. Now the overcomers are overcome. Now the victors become the vanquished ones. Here comes trouble. What's interesting is that what brings the trouble is small. It seems insignificant. Most of us would say, oh, come on, what's the big deal? It's so small. It's a soldier who wants the spoils of war, which soldiers have wanted for, well, since there have been soldiers. It happens in a battle. It seems small, but it brings something big. Some years ago, I was speaking in North Carolina at the Cove, it's called, the Billy Graham Training Center. I think we had about 400 people in our seminar that week. And I had just discovered, or somebody introduced me to, this bakery shop that was not a national chain yet. It was just a local bakery shop only in North Carolina. That's where it started. It's called Krispy Kreme Donuts. And when I had one of those, I just thought God gave this as a gift to mankind. This is like manna from heaven. Those hot now donuts, come on. So I had one. I thought, oh my stars. We've got to get a donut like this into the hands of every participant in this seminar. So the Cove volunteered to do that. We ordered 400 donuts to be brought in for our seminar participants. When one of the guys went there to pick up the 400 donuts, he waited and he waited and he waited until he finally said, "Now, what's taking so long? Why is this such a long process to wait for?" And the guy at Krispy Kreme behind the counter said, "Well, to bake up 400 dozen donuts is taking us a lot of time." He said, 400 what? He said, 400 dozen donuts. He said, no, I ordered 400. See, it's just one small word. There's only five letters to the word dozen, but it changes everything, right? 400 donuts is a whole lot different than 4,800 donuts. I think we got the guy to stop at 90 dozen donuts. So we carried 90 dozen donuts back to the Cove. They dropped him off at homeless shelters and just kids just along the way, and still had plenty left over. I think we sugared up every homeless person in that town that night. People who say that small things don't matter have never slept in a room with a mosquito. Just one little thing can change everything. As we look at this seventh chapter, what I want to do is frame for you the man Achan. And I'm going to provide four sides to this frame by giving you four statements, four little maxims, four axiomatic truths, self-evident truths. Here's the first one. Every disobedience is detrimental. Mark that. Every disobedience is detrimental. Verse 1, but the children of Israel, here it comes, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, remember his name means trouble. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, better translation, the devoted things, things that should have been devoted or set apart for the Lord. And so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, that's how you pronounce that little town, Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. They eyed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there. But the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Here's the deal. Jericho was the first town they took over. The spoils of war to Jericho were to be devoted or dedicated to the treasury of the Lord's stuff. The people were not to touch it. The soldiers were to leave it alone. The commanding officer, Joshua, gave that order in chapter 6. Don't touch it. Don't keep it. Leave it alone. Doesn't belong to you. Belongs to God. If you touch it, you'll be cursed. Well, Achan didn't seem to care. He saw something that caught his eye, and he thought, why let it go to waste? It won't be missed. And he took it for himself. Because he did that, 36 men lost their lives. Because he did that, 36 families are experiencing grief. Because he did that, 36 wives became widows. Because he did that, 36 sets of children lost a dad. And because he did that, the whole group of Israel is held accountable. It's interesting, you go down to verse 11, God speaks to Joshua and he says, Israel has sinned. Yep, Achan stole, but Israel has sinned. The nation is liable. And it's going to cost Achan his own life, literally. Achan will become bacon by the end of the chapter. It'll cost him and the lives of his family. Here's the point to be made. Every believer's actions matter, for better, for worse, and they affect the whole group. As Warren Wiersbe put it, never underestimate the damage one person outside the will of God can do. Ask Adam. Just one little piece of fruit, no big deal. Thank you very much, Adam. Just ask Abraham. Just one little lie, one act of disobedience in Egypt almost cost the life of his wife. Just ask King David. Just one decision to number the people of Israel cost 70,000 lives. Ask Jonah. One ticket aboard one boat brought a storm, a whale, and almost sunk the ship. Ask the church at Corinth, who, because they tolerated the sexual immorality of just one of their members, brought judgment upon that church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Ask the families of 10,000 people who last year lost their lives in alcohol-related traffic accidents. Just one choice, one act. Now, we're connected to each other. We are. You might not feel that way or you might not act that way, but the Bible says as the body of Christ, we're a part of one another. We need each other. I know we needle each other from time to time, but we need each other. And what we do affects everyone else. It's called the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now listen to this. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Beware of the person who says, what I do is what I do. It's none of your business. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. That's just the thing. It always does hurt somebody else. It's selfish and ignorant and arrogant to think that you can just do it and it doesn't hurt anybody else. It always does. Always affects other people. Ecclesiastes 9 says, one sinner destroys much good. Or to put it in our little axiom, every disobedience is detrimental. That's one side of the frame. That's part of the picture frame of Achan. Let's go now to another side. Not only does every disobedience become detrimental, but every sin has stages to it. It comes in stages. Now, I want to go down to verse 19. I want to skip ahead. So follow your eyes down to verse 19. After Joshua prays to God about this, God tells him to find the person responsible. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession to him. Tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." Did you notice the stages? Do you notice what he says he did? Look at the verbs. He said, "I saw, I coveted, I took." In other words, it didn't happen all of a sudden. It happened with a series of stages. I saw something, I wanted something, I took something. So far, we've been seeing that in just about every one of these crash and burn studies. Eve saw the fruit. It's pleasant to the eyes, good for food, makes one wise. So she took it, ate it, gave it. Lot didn't just wake up one day in Sodom. He first looked toward it. Looked good. He moved his tent in that direction. Then he moved to town. Then he led in that town. Then he lingered in that town. So there's always stages to this. Now here's the irony. If Achan would have just waited one more chapter, if he would have just obeyed God and said, "Okay, I'm not going to touch anything from Jericho. I'm going to just do it. The man says, I'm going to obey this." We get to chapter 8, verse 2, and Joshua tells his soldiers, "Now, the town of Ai is all yours. You can have anything you want in it. Jericho belonged to God, but this whole town is yours. All the spoils of war are yours to keep." He would have gotten even more than he got out of greed. Jim Elliot, the missionary, said, "God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him." Isn't that great? God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. But he saw, he coveted, he took. Those are the stages. Now, I asked you at the beginning, did I not, to turn to or to mark James chapter 1? So turn there for a moment. I want you to look at two verses. James chapter 1 gives to us, we could call it the anatomy of temptation. It's like he's a scientist and he dissects temptation to show you the different stages. And it's like he has been reading Joshua chapter 7. James chapter 1, 14 and 15. I'm going to begin in verse 13. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Notice the stages. First stage, desire. Desire. James says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. We all have desires. There's nothing wrong with having a desire. They're normal. You couldn't function without desire. You have a thirst drive. You have a hunger drive. We have a sex drive. God put that in the human race. There's nothing wrong with desires. What's wrong is when you seek to satisfy those desires outside the will of God. That's the problem. So, for example, eating is normal. Gluttony is sin. Sleep is normal. Laziness is sin. Sex is normal. Adultery is sin. Wanting an education is normal. Cheating on the test, that's sin. You get the point. Begins with desire. The next step is deception. After desire comes deception. You'll notice in verse 14, James tells us, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. See the word drawn away? It's a hunter's term. It means to lead an animal or lure an animal from a place of safety into a trap. I have a friend who is helping me solve a problem. I think I have some kind of critters at my house. He thinks they're squirrels. So he says, I got the solution. I'm going to trap these squirrels, and then I'm going to let them out somewhere far away. So he has these trapped, the doors open, and he put a little container with just a little bit of peanut butter in it. I love peanut butter. I'm tempted by it. I won't let my dog out because he'll get trapped. So that little door is open, and that little cup of peanut butter is sitting there to lure an animal from a place of safety into a trap. That's the idea of drawn away. Come here, little squirrel. Also, look at the word in that verse, enticed. Do you see it? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, this word comes from the word that means to bait a hook, to take a hook and put bait on it. So you throw a hook into the water. You don't want to leave it like the hook because the fish is going to go forget you. But you put bait on the hook and he's going to think, there's breakfast, not knowing he is the breakfast. That's the point of baiting the hook. You're hiding that lure from them. You're bringing them out from a place of safety. You're baiting a hook. Achan had a desire for more. Okay, nothing wrong with having a desire, Achan. And then he sees something alluring. Clothes and cash. Babylonian garment. It's the style now. It fits just perfect. Why let it go to waste? Looks good on me. It's a lure. So desire, and after that, deception, there's a next step, decision. That's verse 15, James 1. Then, notice this, when desire has conceived, see that word conceived? It gives birth to sin. Now, that's the terminology of having a baby, but it could be translated when it has spawned. When it is spawned. Have you noticed that all of these terms in these two verses are animal terms? And I think that's for a very important reason. I think what James is saying is when you live on the level of just getting your needs met, your desires met, you are living no higher than the level of an animal. That's what animals do. They live according to their senses. They just want their needs met any way possible. Any creature can do that. That's animal living.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from the series Crash and Burn. Right now, we want to share about a resource that will encourage you even more in your faith.
What would it look like if God threw a party? Well, the Old Testament shows that the Jewish calendar is anchored with regular, mandatory holidays and celebrations. And the book of Esther says that God wants his people to experience light and gladness, joy and honor at such times. Sound like your family celebrations? Listen to this insight from Skip Heitzig about one of our own regular holidays, Valentine's Day.
For God so loved. That's the essence of his nature. The Bible says God is love. Boy, that is so simple to say, and it's so hard for some of us to believe.
Happiness, Holiness, and Holidays is a 4-DVD collection of celebration messages from Pastor Skip. Messages that could be a game changer for your family. Take holidays from toxic stress to celebrations of light and joy. Here's a sample.
You are loved by God, not because you deserve it, but because, just because. That is his nature. It is his decision.
Imagine that foundation for the next holiday on your family calendar. This selection of some of Pastor Skip's holiday teachings is our thanks when you give $25 or more to help connect more people to God's Word. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give online securely or call 800-922-1888 and request your copy of Happiness, Holiness, and Holidays with Skip Heitzig.
It's easy to feel weighed down by past failures and present mistakes, but your struggles don't have to be the last word for you. Jesus came to redeem us from our past, and through his work on the cross, you can have a new life. That's the good news we want to share with you through this broadcast. And today, you can help share that life-changing truth with others through your gift to help keep these teachings on the air. To give a gift right now, just call 800-922-1888. Again, that's 800-922-1888. Or visit connectwithskip.com/donate. connectwithskip.com/donate. thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzig shares what you can do in the fallout of your own failure. Because no matter where you are, God's mercy will meet you there.
The desire that leads to deception, that brings you to a decision, something happens. There's a fourth step, and that's death. James says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? To sin. Sin is born. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It might not happen for a while. You might live a long time before it ever comes. But it's so cute at first. It's a baby. Look at my baby sin. That's kind of cute. A lion is cute as a baby. When it grows up, it'll eat you.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast all burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.